here in this world, living below. I've had all the joys that a mortal can know, with family and home and friends that I love. But none can compare with the joy that we'll share rising above. On the way up to meet King Jesus in the air, on the way up, leaving behind this world of care. No more pain,
no more pain,
sorrows to miss and heaven to gain. I'll be through with life's bitter cup on the way up. Dead saints arising, body and soul. Gravity's full, losing its hold. That family reunion, stable to serve. Will you be there? Glory to share on the way up. On the way up to meet King Jesus in the air, on the way up, leaving behind this world of care. No more pain, sorrows to miss and heaven to gain. I'll be through at life's bitter cup on the way up. Here in this world, living below, I've had all the joy that a mortal can know, family and home and friends that I love. But none can compare with the joy that we'll share rising above. On the way up to meet King Jesus in the air, on the way up, leaving behind this world of care. No more pain,
no more pain,
sorrows to miss and heaven to gain. I'll be through with life's bitter cup on the way up.
Amen.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness night will safely lead me, oh. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
I owe my life.
this tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships all don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use of it hanging round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, oh the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rock of sin He has shone the light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me,
with me in the book of Revelation. We seem to be living in some hours wondering what is this world moving forward to. The pressure in Israel keeps mounting in the political field because the tension that has been building up over the fact of Israel must give up some land, Israel must give concessions, Israel must do this, Israel must do that, when on the other hand we realize God has by His Word spoke how that in the last days He would restore to her. So we see a paradox. We see two forces in operation. The devil trying his utmost through political world leaders as well as Israelite leaders. It goes to show the fact that you see an element of Jew there today in the political office who would sell the country for an era of peace, not even seeing the fulfillment of God's word at all. Yet he'll hold on to his racial identity. Isn't that strange? I can't understand why he'd want to hold on to his racial identity, biblically wise. Why he would want to hold on to the fact that that is his ancestral ground if he can't also see the fact that that piece of ground is supposed to literally be all restored to him. Why does he want to be willing, for the sake of peace, compromise and sell it? Well, it goes to show that there has to be that type of political man in the government of Israel in the time of the Antichrist. So all these things let us know we are moving forward to that time of when the world one day will usher in a peace time, an Antichrist system, and so forth. But now this morning, taking your Bible, let's go to the sixth seal. Many times I've asked a question, Brother Jackson, when Brother Branham saw in the vision California being sunk, I don't think we want to read it like sometimes people want to say, that California is going to go. In other words, when you say that, you're actually saying that the whole state, in other words, is going to go. Don't talk like that. Say it like this. Part of California. But don't say the state of California. Because I want you to know, Inland A Ways is a mighty powerful mountain range. And if that goes in the sea, you rest assured there isn't a city on this North American continent going to stand. Because when you start sinking mountain chains, brothers and sisters, I want you to know, it'll begin to rock this planet. Nowhere in the history of time has there ever been an earthquake that has literally shook and sunk a chain of mountains. It's busted them in two. It's changed riverbeds. But when we begin to talk about sinking a chain of mountains into the sea, you're talking big talk. That's what we want to deal with this morning. Now, I think too long people of this message have played more with that earthquake than they have one mentioned in the Bible. Now, I say this morning to try to balance our spiritual equilibrium and get our senses adjusted properly to respect Scripture. Personally, I feel that what God had showed that prophet was a severe dealing he's going to give this country in the hour when God is through with this country in using her for her wealth potential or for whatever other role she may have played in days gone by. I believe that God is going to strike this country a terrible blow. And it still won't mean that Jesus has come. And when that hour arrives, that St. Andrew's vault would split, permitting that certain section of that western seacoast upon which is built a city, L.A., and along the beaches, how that they walk in the nude and they almost, in defiance to God, laugh at Him, walk in their immorality, boasting of what they can do there. God, by His word, would deal such a blow to such an area of land that has incorporated such a city that's almost like a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there we get all of our movie characters. There we get all of our actor celebrities, as well as all the other immoral clubs, cults, and what have you. L.A. has become a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm convinced that that area of that state is doomed by God. When God Himself sees that the hour has come, He will no longer use this country for any world potential. Don't think He hasn't been using it in the past 30 years. Brother, He's pumped billions of dollars out of here, both for the Jews' sake as well as the reconstruction of Europe. But when that hour has arrived, that this country has served its role and will no longer be an instrument in the hand of the Creator to be something that He can use, then you can rest assured somewhere God's going to strike this country a terrible blow. And I have no doubt The vision that Brother Branham saw was definitely God's judgment and chastening upon that area of this country, because out of the country of California, out of that area right there, along that coastal area of California, comes every cultish, devil, nudist, immoral fashion there is, and it spreads and runs back eastward. What we see in motorcycle gangs today here in the Midwest and on East all started over that bunch of outlaw stuff there on the West Coast in California. Because brothers and sisters, they run up and down the coast through the wilderness, through the mountains, ripping and roaring on their motorcycles, defying law and order, the principles of justice and respect for a human being. Brothers and sisters, that turns loose a spirit that has got on other young men who like their hair to grow long, who like to wear their black horsehide jackets with their beaded belts and what have you, ripping and roaring through towns, terrorizing people. Don't you ever think that God one day isn't going to lay that type of a spirit low? And I'm going to tell you, it'll not be. When we get into what we're talking about this morning, I have to say, this country has so been blessed by God that God's going to lay this country low and flat long before what takes place here. What I want to get into the word directly. That area of California has become so boastful, haughty, naughty. God would be compelled to judge that thing before He fulfills this right here. When you think of what the Scripture says in Genesis, how that Sodom and Gomorrah were evil cities, the men of that city, they were sinful, and God sunk it. I was asked a question not too long ago. Well, what really happened, Brother Jackson? Well, for the sake of the message, I will put in here what many guides have told us, and many right here was privileged to be with us on different trips. While in Genesis says it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, anybody standing in the mountains afar off looking towards Sodom who would not have actually saw in itself what really phenomena took place as they view the heavens and the element, that's about all they could say. It looked like fire, molten rock and everything else falling from heaven. But if you read your Bible carefully, you notice in the day when Abraham and Lot was coming back, journeying through that area, when their herdsmen began to quarrel, and Abraham told Lot that the time was that they should separate. And Abraham told Lot, said, now you choose which area you want to go. If you choose the plains of Sodom, then I will choose the hill country, the mountain country. Or vice versa, whichever you choose, I'll take the opposite. Remember in Genesis, as you read that story, Sodom and Gomorrah were two contemporary cities in the plains of Jordan. There was no Dead Sea yet. Yet the Jordan River flowed right on through there and on down through the Sinai. There was no Dead Sea, but the Jordan River still flowed. But those two cities, they were an oasis in the desert. They were an attraction to tourists. You might say they was like L.A., California, because as you can see, the area around Jericho, which is just about 5 or 6 miles up from the head of the Dead Sea, you have the same similar likeness as there would be in the areas of Southern California around L.A. through there. Palm trees, date trees, citrus and stuff growing. Climate-wise, much the same. It's an oasis. But brothers and sisters, when God destroyed that area of land and destroyed those two cities, He literally sunk them. Well, what went on to sink them? Every guy that I've ever been with says it is known geographically by the science that under this valley here, there is nothing but a lake of pitch. Now, how many knows what pitch is? It's something like asphalt. It lays close to your volcanic areas of the earth. It builds up pressure. And if that ever gets to bubbling and gets head up, it's got to come out somewheres. For miles around, from over in the mountains of Moab, there's black burnt rock, which the guides will tell you, it's the rock of Sodom and Gomorrah. Black burnt rock. In other words, when God destroyed it, He let all that pressure belch forth, and the earth burst. And brother, it just blew all that pitch and molten rock into the heavens. And so that when it fell, if you could have stood 10 miles away looking toward Sodom and Gomorrah, you would have saw, yes, fire and brimstone. It's actually molten rock falling out of the sky. And brothers and sisters, God sunk that valley, and ever since then the Jordan River had an end, because it stopped and began to build up. And that was the beginning of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea means it's where the Jordan River ends and it flows no farther. All the waste, all the erosions of the thousands and thousands of acres, all is dumped into that Dead Sea. And brothers and sisters, it has become the cesspool of that land of Canaan ever since the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In actuality, it is a geographical testimony and a memorial that two cities of immorality once sit right here in the plains of Jordan, and it was an oasis, and the Jordan River flowed on and on and on into the Sinai. But brother, it don't no more. That's why the Sinai has become nothing but a sandy desert ever since, because there's no river to flow through it. Now, we might say this, it could have been a terrible earthquake that was the trigger to such an eruption. But anyway, it brought the destruction to that city, and God sunk it as a perpetual memorial of His frowning on the evils of Sodom and Gomorrah. And brothers and sisters, out the coast of California, they claim that there is an ocean of oil underneath this ledge. I heard Billy Paul say that Brother Branham saw in the vision when California was destroyed, he saw this great slice of land break off. And as it broke off and burst forth to flow into the sea, up came this oil and stuff and was ignited. It was nothing but a huge fire that was burning and erupting everywhere. Brothers and sisters, I have no doubt this morning, somewhere in front of us, God will fulfill that when He's ready to start striking this nation. And brother, we could be closer to that than what a lot of people is ready for. Now, without elaborating anymore, and again, it may well be that that is God's share of wrath that He will strike this nation with when the hour comes of the sixth seal. I don't know, but I just feel like God's going to strike this nation before the sixth seal has its climax, because the sixth seal is the wrath of God. Now, let's look this morning. When we wrote the article, The Chronology of Revelation, I don't know how many letters we got thanking us for such a wonderful setup. Some thought, oh my land, there he goes, changing the Bible. We didn't change the Bible. We just tried to show people the order of fulfillment. We didn't absolutely rewrite the book of Revelation. Because as we started out, the book of Revelation has so been compiled that it took all these visionary events that was to take place and jumbled them all up. And brothers and sisters, if people could only by the Spirit of God see in the book of Revelation that it is a book that contains events upon events upon events upon events, And some words we've got to be able to separate by spiritual revelation these particular events and be able to see by spiritual revelation where do they fall and what do they pertain to. So then let's look at the sixth seal. I've said before, I say again this morning, the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial are all one and the self same thing. They are just three phases, or not necessarily three phases, but they are three portions of Scripture that describes the event of the coming of Jesus and the day of His wrath. When brothers and sisters, as Paul said in Thessalonians, that He would be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and those that have pleasure in unrighteousness. When He comes to be glorified in His saints, and His saints are with Him. Because Zechariah 14 tells us, behold, the Lord cometh, and all His saints. So He'll come to be glorified in them. And brothers and sisters, I want to be in that number of saints to come with Jesus. All right, let's read the sixth seal. When does the sixth seal have its application? As the tribulation period is introduced, that sixth seal will hang right there. Now keep in mind, this doesn't mean that as I said, it hangs there, that it is starting to be fulfilled throughout the whole 7-year period. No, it's hanging right there waiting for its inauguration. Or we will say it's setting in motion. Because Jesus will not come at the beginning of the week. He comes at the end of the week. And it's at the end of the week the wrath of God is poured out. So as we read the sixth seal, let's watch the events that's to take place within that period of time. And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. So now this is speaking of an earthquake, brothers and sisters, that will be the last earthquake that will ever rock this planet. Now keep that in mind. That earthquake that we're reading of here will be one earthquake. There'll never be another like it. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if you and I this morning could see the terribleness and the ferociousness of this earthquake, you wouldn't want to be here when that thing begins to express itself. No, sir. Because this is an earthquake that absolutely fulfills exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24. So as we read this earthquake, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. Just exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24. And the moon became as blood. Didn't say the moon became blood. It said became as blood. As means in likeness, in looks, but not in actuality as far as matter. So let's keep it in that respect. As blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. You talk about meteorites. You talk about fireworks. Brother, I've seen all kinds of societies and clubs and cities. You know how at 4th of July they like to portray their fireworks. And how they shoot their rockets and their fountains and so forth into the sky. And how they burst and so forth. Brother, God's got His fireworks one of these days. You talk about fountains and everything else, brother. My, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs. In other words, just like an old fig tree out here got a lot of dried up figs nobody wanted, didn't pick them, so they just hung there until they dried up. And after a while, the tree has to get rid of them, so a strong wind comes along, and here they go. They all fall off. which makes room for another crop. And Jesus uses that illustration. The stars would fall as a fig tree casting her untimely figs unto the earth. When she is shaken, when the fig tree is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, just like a curtain on a huge stage drew back. Now, when it is rolled together, why would the heavens be portrayed in such likeness? Because, brother and sister, it's God's way of showing the revelation of Jesus and all his saints coming to earth. What a picture. But as we've read, we can see how that God by, and the sun will be darkened, and the moon became as blood. In other words, God shuts the heavenly lights off. And you know, and I know, since your stars are mere reflections, just like the moon is itself, why is it? Step outside today. How many stars do you see? You don't see any. But I want you to know they're up there. Right? Because the light of the sun so outshines them. You don't see them. But brother and sister, when the earth turns and places your place on the earth between you and the sun and them, it's then you actually see the stars. And think, brothers and sisters, when God absolutely blackens the sun and darkens the moon, you can see then the stars will not even shine. Brother, it's going to be dark then. It's going to be black. All right. Now, as the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, brother, that is not talking about just one particular chain of mountains. That's not talking just about a few little islands somewheres. No, sir. This entire planet is going to get the shaking of all shakings. When every mountain will be moved out of their places. As we ride along in many mountain regions, you notice, brothers and sisters, how many times you see the ledges of rock protruding up like this. And over on the other side, you see them like this. And if you look carefully, you notice, you can't help but say, somehow or other, when these mountains were made, God from underneath in the planet, deep down inside, let a pressure build up. And as he did, it burst forth. And brother, he just pushed these mountain chains up. And that's why many times you see the layers of rock standing almost on end, because it was his way of making a chain of mountains there. That's how he has done it. How many times Christians think that when God made this earth and he made the mountains, he literally took a shovel and he dug a lake out. And I want a rock here, so he made a rock and he put it there. I want a chain of mountains here, so I'll go and get a dump truck and I dump a pile of rock here and that's my mountains. Oh, no. No. God is the God of every forceful element there is in the heart of this earth. You believe that? So he knows what he's done. And I can say this morning, since I know the millennium is going to be such a beautiful place of time, as well as geographically, he is destined to destroy the effects of man's sinful way of life that he's accumulated on this earth. And as we think back of the flood period, what did that flood do? It didn't destroy the planet. But, oh, it destroyed cities. It sunk them under the mud. The sediment settled over villages, insomuch that man's never been able to even find a pre-flood village or city, hardly. So I can say this morning, when this hour comes that God's wrath shakes this planet in such a way like this, it's not that he's literally destroying the planet. No, no. He is absolutely destroying the effects of man's sinful way of life. It's testified against him. Therefore, God is destroying it. And by causing the mountains to move out of their place. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to know, deep down inside of this earth, there's no doubt a severe pressure being built up in the volcanic lava bowls of the center of this earth. And one of these days, when the time is just right, and this seal is to fulfill itself, that pressure is going to begin to burst forth, and it's going to begin to absolutely cause layers of earth's surface to slip and slide. That's what they say an earthquake is. These pressures build up, and layers of rock begin to slide like this. This creates all that rumble and jumble. And after a while, brothers and sisters, it's got to burst forth. In some places, it busts and rises. In other places, it sinks. All of this is God's way of destroying the effects of man's progress that he has built upon the surface of the earth. And as these mountains and islands move out of their places, it's God's way of getting ready to make the earth a planet that can be re-inhabited by righteous people, ruled by righteous people, repopulated by a people who under divine laws and authority that are executed and brought forth from Zion and Jerusalem in the days of the millennium. Brothers and sisters, they'll have to be absolutely, completely new fences built. I'm just using this to dramatize. New fences built, new houses built, villages and cities. Because it testifies of God's wrath on this present generation of humanity. And when the scripture says, and every island fled. I've been privileged during World War II to be on a lot of the islands of the South Pacific. These islands are volcanic islands. They've been there for hundreds of years. And they've showed us many times the actual volcanic makeup of these islands as they start in their process out of the floor of the ocean through volcanics. Starting to belch forth as this lava all comes up into the water cools it off, and so it forms a stem and settles right there. Later here it belches another layer and it settles again. And finally it just keeps up this process until finally now it's out and above the surface of the ocean. So it forms an island. But they know by the sounding and all their other instruments that many times these volcanic islands are nothing but just like a huge mushroom set on a little pedestal. And brother, all there is needed is a terrible earthquake to shake that thing and the stem is broken off and you know what happens. It's bound to go down in the water, slipping and sliding down into the surface of the water. And so think of it. Every island was moved out of their places. When? When God's wrath is executed in that sixth seal. Watch. And the kings of the earth, sure, the kings of the earth, the politicians of the rich men in that hour, as his wrath has begun to be executed in the earth. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens, means, and in the rocks of the mountains, caves and so forth, and said to the mountains, and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Why? Because they now see him. Why? Because the sun's dark. The moon is turned like in likeness of blood. The stars don't shine. It's literally, utterly black in space. But yet heaven's open. And Christ is revealed from heaven. Come unto earth with all his righteous saints. That's what it says in Revelation 17. For they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. For they've overcome. Praise God. I want to be in that number, don't you? And brothers and sisters, you can't get the world to listen now to it. No, they laugh. I've got too much to do. I'm having a good time. They're not going to have a good time when the lights go out. They're not going to be able to see where to go to. No, no. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you've ever saw that film of the Alaskan earthquake, what that earthquake did to highways, railroad tracks, buildings, I'm going to tell you, he's going to tear up some of these motorcycle courts. Yes, he is. And boys, you that's got motorcycles, I'm not talking about you. Just don't never ride your motorcycle down the highway thinking, oh, this is like heaven to me. I can think of a lot of things, brothers and sisters, more like heaven than just think like I want to be like an outlaw gang. They can snarl and laugh and spit and carry on now. But brother, God's going to laugh at them one of these days. When brothers and sisters, they can go ripping and a roaring down a canyon somewhere thinking they're going to have another good time and God's going to dump them in a hole in the ground. That's right. Going to ride them old motorcycles right off in an abyss somewhere as the earth busts in front of them. God, when God does it, He does it right and He does a quick work of it. Yes, sir. And brothers and sisters, when the lights go out, what's this for? It's God's way of making mortal man on earth pay attention to what's going on in the universe. I've used this illustration many times, many, many years ago before the movie era started. They used to have what we call theatrical houses, more or less opera houses. It was just where they actually acted out plays. They had series of curtains and stage settings and everything. And all I can just see the vast crowd as they come and pay their ticket fee to get in. They want a ringside seat. They want to be in the front. They want to be the closest to the actors as possible. Well, you know, as long as the curtain is drawn, there's no play going on. As long as the lights going on are still on, why everybody can sit there and yakety yakety yak and talk and all kinds of noise. But after a while, somebody steps to the front of the curtain. Lights out. And brother, the minute the lights go out, silence hits that crowd. All eyes look towards the platform. Why? Because the curtain's going to be open. And everybody is sitting there, starry-eyed, gaze-eyed, wondering just what's about to take place. And that's exactly what God's going to do. When He shuts the lights out, He wants every mortal subject on this earth, you set up and take notice what I'm about to do. Because, brother, I want you to know, He don't have to push buttons in heaven. Oh, no, He don't have to turn switches in heaven. Oh, no, all He has to do is just begin to be revealed from heaven. And I want you to know the elements of this old earth is going to start responding. Hallelujah. I don't want to be here. I want to be with Him, don't you? I realize this morning, worldly people say, oh, that silly bunch of people that believes in all that nonsense. Stick around a while. We'll find out one of these days who's gone crazy. Yes, it may sound fantastic now, but brother, it's going to be real one of these days. That's true. Yes, when it's so black that they couldn't see their hand before them, and yet there comes Jesus. Oh, yes, Paul said He'd be revealed from heaven in flaming fire. That's right. That's to show His wrath, the authority invested in Him. But John saw Him in the 19th chapter. Praise God. And heaven was opened. And brother, He was seen coming riding a white horse. Dressed like a king, a military man. Clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And brothers and sisters and the armies in heaven followed Him also on white horses. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when the world a mortal sinful man looks up and sees that kind of a scene coming from heaven, no wonder they're going to want to run to the caves and the fallout shelters and hide and say, oh, rocks fall on me. Hide me from the face of Him that set it on the throne. Why? Because they know they don't want to meet Him face to face. They've laughed about it. They've scoffed at it. They've done their best to try to rid the human race's mental thinking that there is such a thing as God, Christ, or any other thing. But brother, in that hour when God absolutely forces every atheist, every evolutionist, every sinful, immoral character to look up, no wonder the scripture says that He'd make every knee bend and every head bow and confess He's both Lord and Christ. No wonder the scriptures, and every eye shall behold Him. Yes, every mortal eye that's alive on this planet in that day when He's revealed from heaven in such great glory. Brother, they'll sing. Now, brothers and sisters, I've said many times, such a scene, don't think that it is such an instantaneous coming and it's all over like that. No. I have to say, since it takes this planet 24 hours to make a complete revolution, and if every mortal eye is to see him, then brothers and sisters, I believe that sign of his coming will unfold in such a beautiful revelation that as he is descending from heaven, God will let that descent last long enough as he keeps projecting himself closer and closer till this earth has made one complete revolution in space. And brother, in that one complete revolution, I want you to know volcanic eruptions, quake, terrible things can take place. No wonder man would want to flee to the mountains and say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon a throne. Now let us... Yes, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice in the sixth seal, it speaks the wrath of the Lamb for the great day of his wrath. Now notice, in all the seals, and in all the book of Revelation up to this hour, this is the first time the word wrath occurs. It goes to show the word wrath belongs to that great day of God Almighty. It's that day when Christ is revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and hath pleasure in unrighteousness. It's his wrath. When does it take place? As the tribulation period or the week of Daniel is coming to a close and God is ready to cut everything short now. Christ is coming. Just as sure as you're sitting here this morning, Jesus is coming. Yes, sir. That's the sixth seal. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I am glad, brothers and sisters, the bride's already with him. Praise God. Yes, sir, the bride's already with him. Because when this takes place, she's coming with him. In other words, she's not going to meet him. She's already met him somewheres prior to that hour, and she's coming with him. Turn quickly with me now to the 11th chapter. As we spoke, printed in various articles, but mainly in the chronology of Revelation, how that these trumpets, I know some... One person said something like this, that Jackson, don't he know that those trumpets belong to Israel? That's exactly what we said. That's exactly what we said. They was using Brother Branham's sermon, the Feast of the Trumpets, when he had stated, you know, how he was coming back and preach on the seven trumpets. And God wouldn't let him because God told him they were for Israel. All we did, brothers and sisters, was emphatically state they're for Israel. But we tried to show the reader, the believer, in what relationship were they to Israel in its time factor. That is all. Now watch. In the 11th chapter, it actually started in the 8th chapter, but the climax comes in the 11th chapter. Those seven trumpets are God's judgment dealings with Israel in and during that week of Daniel, which climaxes in the tribulation period, which is the last half of it. I stated in the chronology of Revelation as well as other articles that the first three trumpets, if you will read them carefully, those first three trumpets of chapter 8 coincide with the ministry of them two prophets, Moses and Elijah. There when they come and will smite the earth with plagues, turning water to blood, and so forth. And you can see that exactly in those first three trumpets. And the reason I can say that is the truth It's because of this. I know that God won't have two prophets coming on the scene doing that, turning water to blood, smiting the land with plagues, drought and so forth, then take them off of the scene, coming along and doing the same thing again. Once them prophets do that, create that plague, create that condition, that becomes a lingering judgment effect that will hang in that week of Daniel, and it's God's way of expressing himself to that political element of Jew. I'm doing this because you have sold your country down the drain. God judges the nation, not the 144,000, not the spiritual Jew. No, he's not judging them, but he's judging that political Jew for selling his country, making a peace with the Antichrist. When you come to that fourth trumpet, and you see how that the sun was smitten for a third of the day and the night likewise, that is not the same thing as we're reading here this morning in the sixth seal. That means that only in the Middle East, where those two prophets are, when something happens that the Antichrist does there, will the sun refuse to shine and give its light for a third of the day and the night likewise. In the rest of the world, it'll still be light and the moon shining. It lets me know, brothers and sisters, it's a sign of the Antichrist, because that's exactly the sign God gave Israel when she hung her Messiah on the cross and killed him, brothers and sisters. And as soon as they gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake and the heavens became black. I don't believe it was black in North America. I don't believe it was black in London, England, but it was black in Israel. That's what made the Roman centurion stand back and look into the heavens, because them Romans was very superstitious. They believed in omens. And when he saw the heavens turn black, he says, of a surety, this was the Son of God. So by the same token, if God did that into the heavens as a testimony against the political nation in that hour, he'll give them the same token when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with that nation to set in that terrible time of trouble such as there never was before and never be another time like it. Because the scripture says, and the sun shone not for a third part of the day and the night likewise. That goes to show, brothers and sisters, it is a celestial condition that is developed as a sign against that nation. And then if you notice, brothers and sisters, the fifth trumpet that follows, it's all hell turned loose. What does that signify? The Antichrist, the devil, has now full preeminence. And when you begin to see, brothers and sisters, the sixth trumpet, what is it? Seeing all those spirits going forth. And out of those spirits, out of all of that loosening of that, there was a vast army of men gathered together. 200 million men. What was it? It's all hell, brothers and sisters, being turned loose. Yes, but as they go forth as spirits to torment mankind and so forth, yet they also become, in their final state, spirits to incorporate itself in the great military Armageddon picture. Because, brother, these spirits lead mankind to death. Don't never think, brothers and sisters, that devils can't be used for many purposes. No, there's not one going out painting a black sign and another goes out and paints the red sign. Oh, no. No, devils can be used for many things. And that's why in the sixth trumpet, he saw that great army, 200 million men. A lot of people think, well, my, there is not that big an army in the world. Oh, yes, there is. Because the whole combined military forces of all powers in World War II was 100 million. And brothers and sisters, when China is reaching almost a billion, and as you heard Brother Joseph state what India's population is, and the United States over 200 million, Europe like it is, Russia like it is, all the world today done past the 3 billion mark going towards 4 billion. I want you to know, by the time the Battle of Armageddon is fought, the world will muster 200 million men. Where are they going to be brought to? God's winepress, the Valley of Armageddon. And there the blood will flow to the bridle of the horse. So I brought all those things in to state. Those trumpet judgments are absolutely all executed. But as they're executed in Israel, basically, for what she's done in selling her nation down, the dream to sign that peace covenant with the Antichrist, that's why that political Jew has to be acting like he is today. Oh, brother and sister. But when we come to this seventh trumpet, this seventh trumpet is the condition that is sounded that announces the coming of Jesus from heaven. Let's read it. Remember, Jesus comes under the sixth seal, doesn't he? He comes under the seventh trumpet. He comes under the seventh vial, but he can't come three times. Amen. There's only one coming. My point is this. The sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial, each one of these deals with a certain aspect of his coming. And you might say it's just sort of like an artist building up the picture. He just keeps adding the dimensions until you see it in its entirety. All right, let's read it quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our, oh my, of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now that wasn't said in the sixth seal. So this goes to show, as that seventh trumpet is sounded, this lets me know that it is announced in the spirit world. Now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Means the hour has come for Jesus to come and take over and set up His kingly reign on earth. It's millennium to start. Oh my, what a beautiful picture. And He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Not another person up there, but worship Him as the Spirit that He is. Saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. That's the state of mortal nations as the week of Daniel comes to a close. They're angry. They're all disrupted. They're all disoriented. Goes to show that at the closing of that Antichrist hour, in order for to set the Battle of Armageddon in motion, even when nations, you might say, yielded themselves to such a period of coexistence, somehow or other, everything begins to be a turmoil. Everything begins to have an upheaval effect. This creates anger, frustrations, tension. And God does this so that it takes a war to settle it. But it's the war of Armageddon. All right. The nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come. It's the hour for to be expressed. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Now people will say, Brother Jackson, is the bride with Jesus? She sure is. Well, what's he talking about here? The time of the dead, that they should be judged. It's those tribulation saints that's been martyred through that last half of that week of Daniel. How many can see that? Don't mean, brothers and sisters, all those dead beyond the millennium there. No. But it means those tribulation saints. Now watch. Time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants, the prophets. Let's read it carefully. What does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells me this morning that when Christ comes, His reward is with Him, right? To give to every man, right? According to his works. In other words, it's not that your reward is given to you 1500 years ago, the minute you died, no. It's that your reward for what you were in your respective hour, it will be given to you when you're ready to be placed back in a glorified body. Hallelujah. And you're ready to take your earthly role again with Him, because there's where that reward is to be expressed. Praise God. That reward's not going to be expressed in the spirit world. It's going to be expressed right back here on this earth when you are put right back in a glorified body. And there will that... And it won't be, brothers and sisters, he give one $1 million and another $2 million. Oh, no. No. It goes like this. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. That's right. But you have to be in a body for that to be said. How many realize that? And the time that he should give reward to his servants of prophets, that's the Old Testament saints. And his saints, his bride saints. Listen to it. And them that fear thy name, small and great, praise God. Because Zechariah said, behold, the Lord cometh, and all his saints, old and new alike. So, brother, there's going to be a reward delegated to every sainthood, prophet, right on down to the very smallest. And brothers and sisters, some of you sitting in here this morning say, oh, Brother Jackson, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Live for him. Did you ever think about living for him? Just live for him. Live for him. Love him. And when he gives you an opportunity to do something or say something that can be a blessing and a help to someone else, do that. Because brothers and sisters, I want you to know, Jesus could say something like this and did. He that is the least in the kingdom of heaven shall be greater than John the Baptist. What a prophet. You know why he was talking about like that? He's talking about the bride of Jesus Christ. He that's the least in the bride will be looked upon as greater. Why? Because that bride is literally to be married to Jesus and part of him. And she is to sit in the nations that she came out of, ruling and reigning with him in the same glorified body state, in that same kingly authority. That's why it says in the book of Revelation, he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall rule and reign on earth. Praise the Lord. Yes, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's the ungodly. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake. There's the earthquake of the sixth seal. Not another earthquake. It's the same sixth seal earthquake. But see, this trumpet announced and brought out greater dimensions within the era of his coming, didn't it? See, there was not a thing mentioned in the sixth seal about rewards given to anybody. But yet it spoke of his coming. It said how the heaven would depart as a scroll. And men would flee to the mountains, saying, hide us from the face of him. That's what it said. But the trumpet announced that he's coming to give reward to somebody. Right? And destroy somebody that doesn't love him nor serve him. That's why the trumpet, see, brings out dimensions that the sixth seal didn't. But it's all relative to the same advent of his coming. Now let's go quickly to the 15th chapter. The 16th chapter. And we'll close. Mentions the same earthquake. Notice in the trumpet it announced hail, didn't it? Didn't it? It announced hail, didn't it?
Amen.
Well, I think somebody told me Thursday night that finally some of our congressmen or political leaders has finally give our scientists the go-ahead now to start experimenting with weather. Seed the clouds, do this to tornadoes and this and that and everything. What does it all mean? Science and all their technology. He's trying his level best to be able not only to control disease, which you might say is also a penalty of sin. He's trying his best to control death, which we know is the penalty of sin. He's trying his level best to be able to bring life in existence that would not have death nor disease as hereditary attached to it. Oh, if he could just master that, he could laugh at God, couldn't he? Then because nature is all upset because of man being a sinner, That's why at times we have droughts. That's why at times we have floods. That's why at times we have storms. All these things testify against man in his sinful way. But man's not content to look and serve his Creator through these things and learn anything. So he keeps trying to experiment and control. So he tries when it's dry to make it rain. Well, in Africa, why they had the rain dance, and years ago, why our Indians, they had their rain dance. So now our scientists, they've stopped dancing and they want to use other means to try to bring a rain. And so now then, our scientists have got to go ahead to experiment with all elements of nature. You know, about the time they get it where they think they've just got it harnessed, God's going to let them know, I'm still the master of the whole thing. Because, brother, I want you to know in that hour when Jesus is coming, I have no doubt, scientists right now, if you knew what was behind the scenes, is doing his level best to explore the possibilities to be able to make torrential rains, floods, hail, all of this. Why? To use it for military purposes, to create havoc and disrupt everything in his enemy nation. He's done everything else with the atom. He'll do everything he can to try to disrupt nature and harness it. So let's watch here. The seventh vial. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Why? Because this shows that Jesus is actually coming. He's descending to earth. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done, meaning it's over. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Same thing in the seal, same thing in the seventh trumpet. Now announce it, voices, lightnings, thunder, earthquake. Such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Never was there one like it. And the great city was divided into three parts. Old Rome. Old Mystery Babylon, you might say. And the cities of the nations fell. Yes. Old Rome is absolutely the center of old Catholicism. She's referred to as the Holy See. How many knows that? The world has looked to her for centuries as the Holy City. Brother, I want you to know there's only one holy city, and that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's holy city. Rome's been the devil's counterfeit to it. So no wonder God has to judge it. Because, brother, out of Rome came every dogma, every creed, every ritual, every ceremony that has stooped men in ignorance and blinded their eyes to the revelation of Jesus Christ. This does not disfigure and make light of any person that's been a Roman Catholic. The Protestants are just as bad today. Some of them are just as blind and ignorant as any Roman Catholic could even think of being. So, God's going to judge old Rome. And when he does, then God's going to remember, this is just exactly what I did to old Babylon one time, sitting there straddle of the river Euphrates when she held my people, Israel, captive. See, that's when he judges Rome, that's when it comes into his remembrance, to give to her what he did to Babylon many centuries ago. Came in remembrance before God. In other words, not before man, but came in remembrance before God. He deals with Rome just like he did with Babylon. Brother, when he brought her down, you know what he did? He brought her down to never rise no more. And I have to say this morning, brothers and sisters, when God one day judges Rome and destroys her as a city, in the millennium she'll never rise. Because, brother, for centuries she's been a city that has controlled the destiny of human souls. Yes, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Verse 20. Reads almost word for word what it says in the sixth seal. And every island fled away. That's what it said in the sixth seal, didn't it? And mountains were not found. Oh, my. Mountains were not found. That lets me know, brothers and sisters, to think of the many earthquakes through time. Oh, yes, mountains have been disrupted. But never has it been written in history where mountains cease to exist. In fact, more so, mountains came where there wasn't mountains. But brother, when an earthquake happens, then mountains weren't even found anymore. God just leveled them off. How many can see this morning, God's going to make this earth a fit place for the righteous to walk on. Yes, sir. My, my. Mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Now, it spoke of hail in the seventh trumpet, but didn't tell what their weight was. Now, see, the vial tells us how much they weigh. In the 73 tornado we had through this part of the country, we had hail that came in the shapes of saucers. We had hail that fell in the shape of golf balls. And we might say God was just warming up his ice maker. That's right. In a humorous way, God was just warming up his ice maker. He didn't have to seed them clouds, did he? Brother Dretcher, you saw one of them, I believe. Now watch. And down here where Tanya lives, why, a piece of hail hit their camper, wasn't it? Knocked a hole in it. Now, I don't want to be around when that type of stuff starts falling very much. Do you? But God's got it all set. He's got it all harnessed up. Yes, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. Now, I've never figured out what the weight of a talent is, but I know one thing. It weighs more than a golf ball. Now, I'll tell you what. If you think anything of your car, don't leave it parked outside when that hour happens. Let's be sure we're in the rapture, brothers and sisters. Now, I just said it that way to catch your attention. Let's be sure we're living for God. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. God literally throwing ice cubes at people because of their evil ways of living. And when it takes place, it lets me know Jesus is coming. I want to be on the right side, don't you? Father, this morning, these words, O Lord, may you take them and put them together. Help us in this hour we live to walk uprightly with our minds, our spiritual life, in true fellowship with you, Lord. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity of having been called to be partakers of your divine nature. Help us today, O Lord, that our life can be yielded fully to thee, allowing you to mold and make this life something that God you'd be glorified by. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand, thanking you in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Every time I do a deed I shouldn't do, every time I say a word I shouldn't say, let me tell you what I do, and it brings a blessing too. I just steal away somewhere and I pray. I pray.
Sparkling rivers is flowing, happy faces are glowing, land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflections.